Life Audio.
What's up, Happy Rant listeners? Ted Cluck here. I want to talk about Christmas. You know how I know it's Christmas time? Because Ronnie Martin has tweeted about it like 35 times already today. But I want to talk about Christmas shopping, and specifically at a website called thehappyrant.com/shop. Yes, that is our show's website. Thehappyrant.com/shop is where you can find notebooks, t-shirts, tote bags, canvas tote bags, ones that make you look smug and elite. T-shirts that say elite man of the people, C-list celeb, baby you're so money, and until next time. You can find all your Happy Rant merch, your t-shirts, your fanny packs, the old school classic Speak Softly and Carry a Megaphone t-shirt, all at thehappyrant.com/shop. Log on, grab some merch for the Happy Rant fans in your life. And remember to order by December 12th so that everything gets there by Christmas. Again, the website is thehappyrant.com/shop. Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin, and the lady with the Zoom voice, apparently. Did you guys hear that on your end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it came through on the recording. We'll find out.
We will find out.
It doesn't. I think we're good. I think we're good, okay. Boys.
Yeah, that'd be magical if it did. Boys, always good to be doing a little volunteer radio with you. Like, people say that it's healthy to volunteer and do stuff for free, and we're basically doing that. So fun to be doing that together. And we've got a very special episode dialed up here for our listeners. This is the year-end reading list special. And we have some breaking news. We did appear on one of these lists. It was very exciting. What's the guy's name, Pipe? It's a friend of yours, kind of a friend of the program, yeah. Long-time friend of the program.
Aaron Armstrong, longtime listener. He and his wife, both longtime listeners, attenders of live events. Actually used to do a podcast with Aaron back in our Lifeway days. So,
nice.
Yes, our book made his list this year. So we yeah. did it, guys. We've
that's
reached
massive.
The top.
Dude, that's just the first of many, I'm thinking, Pipe. And how has your life changed because of it? Do you feel different? Like, has stuff been kind of weird out in public for you since that happened, or has it kind of been normal?
I mean, it's tough when I don't know. It's just tough to deal with all the expectations that come with, you know, a Canadian blogger's adulation.
And I know. It's huge.
Sometimes it's more than my soul can handle, really.
Yeah, I know it, man. It's a fine line. It's a tightrope that we're walking. And boys, I want to get into the reading list thing because you two built your own year-end reading list, and I crafted a guide, sort of like a baseball manager's lineup card as to how to make a year-end reading list. We'll get into all of this after a short break. All right, boys, we're back. Here's how I'm proposing we work through this. I'm going to work people through my guide. This is a column that will hopefully be published soon, so people will have this resource at their fingertips if they want to make their own year-end, make it about me, reading lists. And you guys made your own list, so I want to work through each of the spots, like leadoff, the two-hole, the three-hole, cleanup, etc. And I want to explain the logic behind these spots on my end, and then I want to hear who you guys have in these spots in your own list. So I want to start with something, though, that's not a book, but it's the banner image. I think it's imperative that you curate a stack of books on the desk, which is for sure made out of a repurposed barn door. And make sure people know that it's in your study, because it's not an office anymore, and it's not a guest bedroom in your apartment. It's a study. And if you're feeling frisky or like it's 2003 again on your blog, incorporate a steaming mug of coffee. So did you guys do that? Have you done the curated like book stack picture on your barn door desk in your quote unquote study?
Could I push back with a slight addendum?
Yeah, absolutely.
Steaming cup of coffee is good. Mug with string from tea bag or like, you know, the loose leaf tea strainer hanging out.
Better. Yeah. So, dude, that's massive. I think the tea strainer is aspirational. I think tea bag is that's very of a couple decades ago. So, all right, let's talk about the leadoff spot. And I want to hear who you guys have in your leadoff spot. Leadoff spot, I've got something standard, something that just gets on base, right? If this was a hitter in baseball, he would just get a lot of walks. I've got an old volume of Theology. So Orthodoxy by G.K. Chesterton, Knowing God by Packer. We got a little Theology. We're just getting on base with this one. What do you guys have in the one spot on your list? Pipe, let's start with you.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, I've got one in the queue, and yeah. I don't know if it's quite old enough, but I think it's a little bit I think it's obscure enough that it works.
All right, lay it on.
It's a book called The Dynamics of Spiritual Life by Richard Loveless.
There we go.
Which, in all seriousness, awesome book. But definitely, I think it came out like late 60s, early 70s, so about the same time as Knowing yeah. God.
There you go.
So yeah, that's my leadoff. I have to say, I'm anticipating this list as you queue up these spots being ones that are very much about books I read that make me look amazing rather than books I read that I just thoroughly enjoyed.
Although no, 100%. Yeah, yeah. No, this is a make it about me Hall of Fame moment. You can you got to really leverage this list for maximum persona work. Baby, who you got in the leadoff spot?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, just kind of I think I talked about it before. There's these series of C.S. Lewis biographies written by that dude from your, I think it's from your school.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, it is. It's all I hear about, dude.
Is it really?
Harry Lee, Colonel Sanders Poe?
Yep.
Yeah, Harry Poe. Man.
Yeah, it, Harry yeah. Poe. No, yeah, they're in love with those books at my school.
Oh, they are. Oh, I kind of figured they would be. And they've been going around a little bit, but I'm on the second one. And it is just a very simple kind of bedtime, grab it, read a chapter before I nod off kind of a thing for me.
So. Dude, that's a solid leadoff spot. Like you get that little hat tip to C.S. Lewis. It tells people, hey, Ronnie's a serious guy. It's not all fun and games and Christmas over here. We're doing some serious reading in the old study.
It's expanding the brand a little bit, boys, you know?
I hate being predictable.
And
baby, exactly. You're a complicated guy. You know, we got a little Christmas and a little CS.
Correct.
There's a lot going on there. All right, let's go to the two spot, Piper. In the two spot, I've got something by Wendell Berry. You got to get that Wendell Berry rep in there. He's written very affectionately and very boringly about the South. This is your, like, show that you're romantic about farming, show that you're serious about stepping away from tech once in a while. I've got Wendell Berry in the two hole. I think it's a strong kind of second batter in my lineup. Who you got?
Before I answer this question, I'm just going to, let me riff on Wendell Berry for a second. So
yeah.
there's been this tweet sort of pinging around, you know, the kind of thing that a bunch of people reply to. And it's a fun one, not like a bad, dumb viral meme. And it's sort of like, yeah. you know, just which authors take up the most space on your shelves, which yeah. is a total, let me
flex.
Blow my own horn.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. And the number of, white reformed church leaders who had Wendell Berry in their top five was astounding to me. I didn't even know Wendell Berry had written enough to take up that much space on your shelf. So
dude, that's so funny. I've actually had
excellent lead into the number two spot, because Wendell yeah. Berry is apparently all over this.
Dude, I've actually had semi-serious conversations with a farmer about farming fantasy camp. So this might finally come to fruition. We've been talking about this thing for years, and we might see it get off the ground. So I'll keep you boys in the loop about that. But yeah, Wendell Berry, massive towering superstar amongst dudes in our tribe. Who you got in the two spot, Pipe?
So I don't read Wendell Berry with any consistency. He's one of those guys who's more like, I feel guilty for not having read much of him. So
totally.
I don't think I've read a word of Wendell Berry this year. So I have the anti-Wendell Berry. Well, not quite anti, because that'd be like Elon Musk. But
yeah.
the un-Wendell Berry, which is The Storyteller, Tales of Life and Music by Dave Grohl. What do we call him? We call him like the Jimmy Fallon of music, just sort of like
yeah.
the likable, charming but in this case also massively talented guy. So I read his, actually I listened to it, but I count those. He reads totally. It, so it's even better. I read his memoir earlier this year, and it was delightful. You know, it's a little bit profane, a lot of stories of, you know, abusing substances and making awesome music, and it's very heartfelt because he's a very, you know, he's an artsy guy, so very feely. But awesome stories. And you know, this it came out a few months before the drummer for the Foo Fighters, Taylor Hawkins, passed away.
Yeah.
And so there's all sorts of stories about Taylor in there, and then he passed away. So that it was sort of a like it made that moment more of significance to me because I wasn't a huge Foo Fighters fan.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I feel like I know a little bit of this guy. So all that to say, Storyteller, Tales of Life and Music by Dave Grohl, is my number two spot for sort of fun memoir-y book of the year. It's
Dude,
not
I love
Wendell
it.
Berry, but I'm counting it.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's really solid. I love rock biographies. I got to check that one out. Also, shout out Dave Grohl, one of the two like okay straight white guys in culture, along with Jimmy Fallon. So he's doing something right. Big R, you back? Are we back up
I'm
on
back,
Zoom?
I'm back, boys. I'm back.
You're back. Who you got in the two spot?
So let me see here. Let me get my wits about me here.
You have to have some actual Wendell Berry. I feel like that just fits. It just fits.
Well, boys, hold on. I missed your, what were your, just real quick, what were your second pick since I missed that?
Yeah, my two spot like suggestion was something by Wendell Berry. Cause you got to show a certain side of your persona. So I think the Wendell Berry thing has to be in the two spot for me. And then Pipad, Dave Grohl's biography, rock biography, of Dave.
Oh, gotcha.
Grohl. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Sort of the un-Wendell Berry, but you know, I feel like it's
still
it's storytelling and it's a white dude who white dudes love. So it counts.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I got something that's Wendell Berry-esque. Okay. I got it from it was a nod from Karen Swallow Pryor online, and it's a book by a woman named Claire Keegan called Small Things Like These, and I think she's an Irish author, I'm not sure, but it's set in Ireland or Scotland. Sorry for the offensiveness of that. And
the offensiveness is offset by having a book by a woman. So you're still one of the
there
good
we
ones,
go.
But it's
so
close.
I'm still in a good way.
Yeah,
but it's a beautiful little like short story that was written. It's written to the point to where you think, how is this author, you know, I think she's growing in popularity, but it was just an amazing little story, kind of sort of set around Christmas, but not really a Christmas story, but really deep and timely and kind of heartbreaking. And, you know, had some just moments that got you, you know, really thinking and reflective and all that. So Small Things Like These, Claire Keegan.
Nice baby. All right, Pipe, the three spot for me, this is the Churchill biography or the Civil War general spot.
Whoa.
This one has got to remind your readers that had you not gone to seminary and become an associate pastor of small groups, you may very well have become the next Ulysses S. Grant or at least a congressman, right? So this is your big swing at the war book or the Churchill thing. Who you got in the three spot, Pipe?
Oh, I feel like I really fell down on the job with this one this year, but I'm going to go, but I have one that I think fits, although it also hits some other markers on the, I'm really proud of myself list. And it's Walking with the Wind, a memoir of the movement by John Lewis. So
I got something on that coming next, but yeah, okay, no, that's good.
It's the closest I've got because I think it's the only book I read by or about a prominent political figure. I'm gonna go with that one.
Solid. Baby, what do you got in the three spot?
Yeah, this is a fiction, but it's kind of historically sort of driven, and it's one of these, like, it's won every award in the world. It's called A Gentleman in Moscow.
Yeah, I've got fiction coming in my cleanup spot. That's good.
Okay, but there's a lot of like, it's a fiction story with a lot of like historical, kind of things driving it, and it's kind of one of those like what, you haven't read A Gentleman in Moscow yet, kind of book, you know, one of those kind of books. And yeah. so you really just, you get to alleviate yourself of a lot of shame having read A Gentleman in Moscow, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's interesting the kind of circles that people run in. Like if you're getting shame for having not read that book yet, it says something about our circles. Boys, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get the rest of the lineup. All right, we're back, boys. Cleanup. This is an important spot on your book list. This one's got to have some impact to it. This was my Frederick Backman or Leif Inger spot. This is where you convey, whoa, hey, we're not just a thinky serious dude. We can do some fiction. We can have some fun. We can let our hair down. It sounds to me, Big R, like this Gentleman in Moscow deal is kind of this year's version of A Man Called Ove or whatever Leif Inger has done recently. So Cleanup for me is the fiction spot. It's a little bit of a turn. It's a little bit of a wow. You know, we're dealing with a well-rounded guy here, and this list is it's something. Pipe, what do you got in the Cleanup spot?
Oh, I've got a. I mean, being that it's the Cleanup spot, I have an absolute smashing home run of a selection for this one. It's a book called Ordinary Grace by William Kent Kruger.
Okay.
And it checks the anger boxes kind of across the board in that it is written by a guy in Minnesota about rural Minnesota.
Dude.
It's about a minister's family and you know how they get sort of entrenched in a murder investigation in a small town and there's scandal, but then it has a lot more to do with sort of coming of age of one of the sons and all this stuff. It really is. It's an awesome novel, and it's not sort of pretentious literary, but it is one of those, like I'm feely and inwoven into the narrative, not just thinky and intellectual.
Dude, let's do a quick second on this. What random state has produced the most like fiction about itself? I think that title belt has to go to either Minnesota or Mississippi. And those are both weird choices. You would think it'd be something like, you know, Massachusetts or New York.
Yeah, yeah. Would Mississippi have that if you just remove John Grisham, like would Mississippi even hold a candle to anyone else?
Mississippi still has some bangers even without John Grisham, but I think Minnesota gets the strap, man. It's close, but I think the belt goes to Minnesota. That's impressive. It's actually really impressive to me.
There's something to be said for like when people are just stuck inside, you know, trying not to die for good portions of the year, you know.
That's true.
Right or shrivel up. Like those are your
options. That's it.
So, you know, there you go.
I love it. Baby, who you got in the Cleanup spot?
Yeah, Pipe, it's interesting you just mentioned Ordinary Grace because we have that. We're just this group of guys, people I do book club with. We're doing that for our winter book club. So we're looking forward to it.
Oh, it's a good one. You'll love it.
Yeah, it looks really good. I guess my cleanups. Oh, dude. I mean, describe Cleanup spot again, Big T.
Yeah, dude. For me, it's got to deliver some impact because we've been on the same note for a few selections, but that number four spot, like in baseball, cleanup is like when you got a couple guys on base and you want a power hitter to come up and like, you know, smash a home run or an RBI or whatever to get everybody home. That was my thought behind it.
Well, okay.
So it's got to deliver some impact, baby. So what, as you look at that list, what's the big impact one that you've got on there?
Well, so I'm still, okay, so this one, I'm not quite done with it, which maybe gives it even a little more power, you know what I mean? Because it's like, it can still surprise me.
Like, you're so into it that, it's going on there anyway.
Yeah, still into it. So it's this book that has, like, it won an award, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, but it is more popular now than when it won the award. It's grown in popularity. It's this book called The Overstory. Mm. And it's a weirdo fiction book about kind of centered around trees and how trees have like this kind of magical quality, sort of a mystical quality, and how really all of our lives are sort of, you know, they're all of our lives. I'm still in the middle of it. So I'm getting the sense where he's basically making the case and he basically takes the lives of like, I don't know, 9 or 10 different people And he tells these various stories of these lives of these people, and they're all centered around trees having some kind of weird, like, physical, metaphysical, like, impact in their life. And somehow you get the sense that all these stories are going to intertwine in the end, the way that, you know, trees intertwine. And yeah. how much of that, like, has to do with, you know, who we are and our creation and our, you know, our lives and all of those kinds of things. So yeah. It's one of these books where it's really complex. But the writing is, like, insane. Like, the guy is, like, any prize he wins, he deserves. He's one of those next level writers where you go, I don't know how somebody can write like this, because there's so much knowledge included. It's like you're learning stuff on every page that you never knew before. He's one of those guys. So nice. it's kind of overwhelming. It's kind of next level. I love it as much as I hate it, you know, but I'm compelled to finish it because I need to know how this thing's going to wrap up, you know? Hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. Nice. All right, Pipe, five spot. We got something about racial reconciliation. Got to have it in the five spot. Conveys you're one of the good ones. Also that my list is looking whiter than the 55 Celtics. Got to have it. That's what I'm going with in the five spot. What do you got?
Oh, I got the perfect selection for this. Because because it's a subject I care about, and B, because it's a really good book. It's one that's been out there. It's been out for maybe 10 or 15 years, mm-hmm. but it's sort of a staple book in terms of understanding the racial disparity. And it's Divided by Faith by Michael Emerson and what's the other guy's name? Is it Christian Smith? Christian Smith. So they're more sociological, mm-hmm. but just basically doing research on why is there the division between the white and black church. They go historical, they look at the current disparities, they look at perspectives of, you know, white Christianity about the other side. So it's much more informational than it is prescriptive, which I found really helpful, because they're not attacking anybody. They're just sort of going, this is the state of things. So super helpful book. And even though it's several years old, it rings very true today. You know, as much as we like to think we've made progress, I don't think we're that much different than we were in, you know, 2010 or whenever it came out.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Big R, what do you got in the five spot?
Yeah, so I'm going to have to admit, so I ordered this, I have it, it's sitting on my stack, but I have not read it yet, but it's a book, I mean, to not to put too fine of a point on it, Big T, but it's a book by Jamar Tisby called How to Fight Racism.
There we go.
So again, I know a little bit about the premise of where he's, you know, and the title's pretty explicit, but I know a little bit about where Jamar comes at, you know, these types of things with, and so that'll just be something that, you know, I'll be diving into probably in the new year for sure. So,
all right, we can go quicker through the rest of the list. Six spot, Advent devotional. This is a chance for you to do a little promo, baby. So you have the floor again.
Baby, I'm afraid because you know you don't like it when I do promo.
I like it when I do promo.
I know that. We know that.
Yeah,
we know you like it when you do promo.
Yeah,
but
do a little promo, baby. This is your moment. You got 30 seconds here. Tell them about your book.
Yeah, baby. So the great Advent book that came out this year is called Gifts of Grace by my friend Jared C. Wilson.
Oh, man, that is sacrificial love right there, dude.
So I'm gonna fall on my Advent sword right now, and I'm gonna say,
you're gonna carry your Advent cross.
I'm gonna carry my Advent cross, fall on my Advent sword,
give.
And you know, dunk some Advent basketballs on my own head, and
man.
I can just keep doing metaphors, or I can.
I love
just
that sports metaphor, dude.
Did you like that one, baby? Every once in a while, I like to surprise, not be too predictable.
Hey, we got a little sports book on your year-end list?
Potentially.
Wow, dude.
Potench, as the kids say. the Gifts of Grace by Jared C. Wilson. This is what I liked, man. Jared C., mm-hmm. For all 25 days, he took sort of an excerpt from one of the old Christmas hymns, and he kind of based on that, which I thought was a really great idea.
It's a solid structure.
It was really solid, and I love the way he did that. And I've read a little bit of it, and it's really good. And it's not as beautiful as mine.
Yeah.
There's no, like, illustrations like mine. There's no place to journal like mine. Other than that, it's a fantastic book.
Jared filled the pages with writing.
Right.
Right. Yeah, which is,
and I like a little blank space, you know.
It's a different approach. Yeah,
they still pay you when you put lines and say right here.
That's incredible. So hey, that's a nice discovery about the industry, baby. You know,
absolutes.
That puts you ahead of Jared.
Well, I mean, Happy Rant book two. We're gonna have to have a lot of journaling sections.
A lot of blank space. It's a Happy Rant journal. That's right. We'll just prompt you, and you do the rest. That's actually not a bad idea, and it would get us paid for doing next to nothing, which we like. So Kyle, if you're listening, let's make that book happen. Piper, real quick, what do you got in the sixth spot?
Well, I'm gonna have to disagree with Ronnie about the selection on this one, and I'm gonna go The God Who Is With Us by Ronald J. Martin.
That's my choice. You give and you get, baby.
I knew I had a friend in the world.
Last will be first will be last, something like that.
I find the blank spaces to be just perfect. It's a perfect addition. It really fills out the book, and it allows me to write back, you know, which is really a wonderful thing to do.
We're having a dialogue, Piper, in my book, because that's what we're doing. I almost every time you write something, it gets piped into my consciousness, and no pun, and we're having a dialogue.
Having a dialogue. It's a beautiful thing, you two. All right, seven spot. This is the Carl Truman or Dane Orland spot.
Oh, boy.
If you're going for, like, serious, thinky, academic, cultural commentator, then Truman is the move here. If you're going for a touchy-feely, nice guy, and I have a heart, then it's Dane Orland. That's who I got in the seventh spot. Real quick, who you guys got?
I skipped both of those this year. I think I'm still riding the wave of those guys being, like, co-book of the year last year.
Yeah. And it's imperative that you show people that you read the long Carl Truman one and not the readable one.
Not the sloppy short one.
Exactly.
The cheer one.
Not the I'm only moderately smart, so I read the short one. Sorry.
Not the only, like, I only have one PhD one, you know.
Right.
Baby, you got a Carl Truman or Dane Orland?
Hold on. I have a book in this category.
Okay.
It's a really different kind of book, but it's definitely like a I'm a smart guy flex. And it's called Things We Can't Not Know by Jay Bujaszewski. It's a book about natural law and sort of the ingrained consciousness of people. So like what are the morals that are just built into people? Where did they come from? Why does everybody share them? That kind of thing. That's my intellectual flex.
That's a solid flex, Pipe. That's a really nice flex. Baby, you got an intellectual flex on your list?
I mean, compare with that, dude. I've been reading a book by Eugene Peterson called On Living Well, Brief Reflections on Wisdom for Walking in the Way of Jesus. So it's a bunch of like little half page excerpts from things he's written or spoken. And it's really cool. I mean, it's like, it's really, really solid. You read it in the morning and he just gives you something to kind of like think about and ponder for the day. But, you know, he writes so simply, but so deeply. And so his stuff really sticks with me because it doesn't it's like, if you want to go deep, you can go really complex, but like just on face value, you just understand it. It's just the way it's kind of the brilliance of his writing. And, I've been loving it. On Living Well by our boy Eugene. So
Gene, shout out Gene.
Yeah. Gene.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and get the last two. All right, boys, we're back. Real quick here. Eight spot is my Makoto Fujimura spot. I like art. I'm well-rounded. That's it. Do you have an I like art, I'm well-rounded thing on your list, Pipe? Just show the people what a full person you are.
Yeah, because I like art and I'm well-rounded. And so my choice is Rembrandt is in the Wind by my good friend Russ Ramsey.
Solid.
It's who had Fujimura write the foreword for the book. So
that's a solid flex by him, too. Yeah, nice, dude. That's perfect. That's a good one right there. Baby, what's your I like art, I'm well-rounded deal?
I mean, dude, I was going to say Rembrandt because it was so good, but I will go with Makoto Fujimura. I'll go with his book, Art and Faith, which I also loved a lot. Two completely different books, but his book, Art and Faith, was pretty stunning. He's an incredible writer.
Does he still have the strap, the title belt for like Christians writing about art?
So it was interesting because like Ramsey wrote about it from the perspective of, you know, being somebody who appreciates art, loves art, wants to learn more about it. Whereas, whereas, you know, Makota is like an artist. And so he's writing his reflections on art and the kind of art he does and how it, you know, displays, you know, the gospel as we dive deeper into it. So they're both amazing books, but they're very different. And Art and Faith was just, to me, it's a work of art as a book. So, yeah.
High praise.
My opinion. But,
yeah. All right. Nine spot. If you're in the American League, this could be a DH. So somebody with some pop. Nine spot, I went a little risky. I've got a book by someone you obviously disagree with. This shows people that you're open-minded and that you can learn from people on the other side. Do you guys have the open-minded? Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not going specific, but do you guys have one? Do you have a book I disagree with person to get, to give that, like, I'm open-minded flex?
I mean, who wants to read people that I disagree with? That's the least fun thing in the world, you know.
Remember, this is primarily about persona, though. This isn't about who you're actually reading or caring about.
I really prefer to read tweets about people I disagree with. Enjoyable.
There you go.
Well, that could be in the ninth spot. I will say I read a fair amount of this. This is utterly cheating. And those of you who, you know, who really want me to lean into this category, too bad. I read a lot of fiction by people who love to weave in things like transgender characters and openly gay relationships and things. And so it's sort of like,
that's standard
sort of
built now.
Yeah. But I mean, they're like parts of the plot. And so I read a book. And the thing is, I wouldn't put this on my list because I thought the book ended. I thought it was awesome for about 80%. So well written. And then it landed so badly. It was called The Fortunate Ones by Ed Tarkington. It was sort of one of those modern literary fiction books about, you know, again, coming of age and wealth and sexuality and all these things. It was so good. And then he just like didn't know how to end it. So he just sort of didn't. And it ruined the whole thing. But
so it's like a sad hipster movie, but a book.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. It might be made into it. It seems like it'd be something that's made into a Netflix show shortly or something like that.
Nice. Baby, what do you got here? You got a disagreeer?
I mean, nothing that I can think of offhand other than I would say, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but I've been reading, as I'm writing my dissertation, I've been reading a lot of commentaries, and I just disagree with those in principle because nothing should be that dry and boring and horrendous. So, you know, I'm offended by it because it's that, you know,
that's a doctoral student in theology who hates to read commentaries. We're going anti for that one. I love it. That's that captures the spirit perfectly. What do you got, Pipe?
I'm with Ronnie on the just in principle on commentaries. It's not what they say so much as how they say it.
How they say it.
It's like, oh, you just made the Bible boring to everyone. And if people enjoy them, I think it's more reflective of their, you know, their stiltedness than anything.
There we go. Boys, we should draw this up to a close because we got another one to do. We got more volunteer radio to do this morning. It's busy work. We've done what we always do in that we've wandered to and fro throughout the idea of book lists. And until next time.
We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast. Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Have you ever considered yourself a messenger? Whether it's mics like this, bookshelves around the world, stages to take, or art to make, or perhaps businesses to build, it's time we start testifying truth unashamedly, creatively, and in love. My name is Tamara Andress, the host of the Messenger Movement podcast, which is designed to catalyze Christians to speak, write, build, and testify. If you're ready to turn your message into a movement and want to run with other messengers doing the thing at scale globally, search and follow the Messenger Movement podcast on your favorite podcast platform today or lifeaudio.com.